The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when they come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing this week's PGA Tour action at the American Express down there on Coachella, California, La Quinta, California, whichever you place you want to call it down in Southern California, where they're going to score a lot of birdies and hopefully not a lot of boogies. That's how it's going to take place this weekend. You can find me on Twitter at BDEntric. My co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Some fun golf there in Hawaii this past weekend, but how's everything else going with you?
Oh, I'm good. How about your boy Siwoo getting it done?
I liked it. I had a lot of Siwoo last week. I didn't have enough sixes.
I did not. I remember you fucking saying his name, and I'm like, God.
Yeah, I didn't have enough six of sixes, but I had a lot of Siwoo that helped a lot of five of sixes get home.
Yeah,
it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah.
But it was a weird week because some of the big dogs, you know, Tom Kim didn't get it done. Sungjae didn't get it done.
It's Jordan Spieth.
Spieth went full Keegan. That was
it's now the like, full Spieth, apparently.
Yeah, now it's full. Did you watch that? Did you watch any of that?
No, I didn't. Oh, I just saw your tweet.
And it was must-see. It was must-see TV. Like, it was full Jordan talking to himself for at least nine holes. It was amazing because he had a bunker shot that didn't get out of the bunker. Like, just everything that could go wrong. And then on 18 just blew me away. Like, all you had to do is basically, like, he had to birdie 18, which is one of the easiest holes in the golf course. And he just launches his drive so far left that basically took birdie almost out of play. I'm like, dude, all you have to do is get there in three. And most guys get there in two easy. Just put it in the freaking fairway. Yeah. What are you doing? Like, it just made no sense to what he was completely unraveled. It was amazing.
Yeah, I didn't watch much this week. Wasn't super interested. The golf course is okay, but it's not like like Torrey Pines, you know.
It's not like a Torrey Pines. No, it's not like a Torrey Pines. We'll get plenty of that for you guys next week. I can fill you in on a few nuggets there. But the Sony was interesting just because a lot of the young kids that we like to root for, that they all showed up. You know, Buckley almost got his one. You know, Putnam had a big Saturday to put him up towards the top. He's not a young kid, but he got his. A handful of guys played very, very well. It was kind of the big names that didn't play so well. That kind of even Hideki played well, but not well enough. Connors kind of turned it on the weekend, got it done. Mackenzie Hughes missed the cut. He was just disastrous. There's a couple guys that just blew up a couple times. But then one of the highlights, this is where I loved having the cuts back, is Austin Smotherman for $6,300, less than 1% rostered. You know, he's 2-under on Thursday. I'm like, sweet, we're doing good. Or he's 4-under, I think. And then he has two double bogeys on Friday. He's going into the last hole, even par. The cut's at 2-under. Eagles 18. He stiffs, like his second shot, he stiffs within 5 feet. I'm like, oh, this is great to have back. It's so great.
Yeah. I mean, he hits 5'9".
Yeah, it was awesome.
I made it to make the cut.
Of course, I wasn't watching it live because it wasn't available live. So I was watching it on my shot tracker on the phone, just like praying, make the putt, please.
He shot 4-under, 2-over.
Yeah. Because he went 4-under on Thursday. He had two double bogeys. That's it. The rest are all pars.
He had all pars on the front all the way through to 12 and then made a double, par, double, par, par, eagle.
Yeah. What a round of golf, my friend. What a round of golf to get to the weekend and do next to nothing but still make the cut. Unlike Ryan Armour, who just had to make par in 18, again, the easiest hole on the course, to make the cut and give me a few of six of sixes. Instead, he goes and bogeys 18 to make it even better. So.
Yeah, I'm just glad that, like, you know, because I mentioned Spieth as being the pivot off of chalky Tom Kim last week, and I was kicking myself after that first round that I didn't play. I played Tom Kim, I didn't play Spieth. And I'm just glad I missed out on that tilt.
It was just so much fun to watch because I did have a lot of Spieth. I figured price point and everything, but yeah, it was fun. It was the Sony. Let's put it that way. You got kind of a little bit of everything. Got super windy. The PMAM wave worked really well if you did go waves. Lots and lots of bad weather throughout the weekend or throughout the Friday. That made things change up a bit, but other than that, it was a normal Sony to me. And heads us to California now. The California swing. We got the Amex this week. We got Torrey next weekend. I believe it's Pebble the weekend after, and then Phoenix. Like they flip flopped them for the Super Bowl. They mixed that up. So since the Super Bowl's a week later, got to have the waste management a week later. So we'll see how that plays out. But we got three courses this weekend, Jesse.
Yeah,
we have a pro am this weekend, mm-hmm. Jesse. What do you have for some past event history on this event?
it's not the funnest. It's a really good field this year, thankfully, but it's not the funnest event on tour, in my opinion. So last year, Hudson Swafford won. He was 23 under, two shots over Tom Hoge. Siwoo was the champion in 2021, 23 under, one shot over Cantlay. Andrew Landry won in 2020, 26 under, two shots over Anser. Adam Long was the winner in 2019, 26 under, one shot over Hadwin and Mickelson. John Rahm was the 2018 champion, 22 under playoff over Landry. Hudson Swafford, 2017, 20 under, one shot over Adam Hadwin. Duffner, past champion. Jonathan Vegas, I know he's in the field. Bill Haas, I don't know if he's playing or not. That's about all you need to know, really.
It sucks Swafford won't be here since he's on live nowadays.
I forgot he went that way, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember 2017, like, I actually played him on DraftKings. I remember this a lot of this golf tournament. There's some, like, yeah, incredible stuff, really, in this golf tournament. I mean, if you think about John Rahm versus Andrew Landry,
yeah,
2018. Yep. And then Adam Long hits that wild shot. And
Adam Long was plus two something. He was like that. He was supposed to be in the tournament.
Yeah. I think he was a Monday qualifier or something.
Yeah.
And he hits it, like, a kind of wayward drive and has this really ridiculous lie on 18 and then hits a hell of a shot to beat Phil. And then Andrew Landry actually gets it done, Siwoo champion, and then fucking Hudson Swafford. Like, there's some big-time betting numbers that have won this tournament.
Yes.
If you look at, like, Landry, I know, was more than 100-1. Mm-hmm. Swafford was at least the first year. I don't know about last year. And Adam Long was 200+, and Siwoo was probably, you know, 75 or so, I would think.
Give or take. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one caveat this year is we have a loaded field.
Yeah. It's a very good field.
Like the best it's pretty much ever been. There's, I believe it's six or seven of the top 10 in the world. And like, it was like 12, I think, of the top 20 in the world, something like that, if I read last time. So that's going to make this a whole different tournament. This is usually kind of a passover. Like, guys go to Hawaii and they get ready.
Well, it's a pro am too. People don't want to. Yeah.
6 hour plus rounds, man. It's like, even when I go to Pebble to watch Pebble, I get bored after a while because right. It's just like, it's just come slow. On, let's go. Like, it's yeah. Come on. Because I play ready golf. I like to get through my round of golf within like 4.5 to 5 hours if I can. Like, that's cool. If it takes longer, it is what it is. But like, let's keep moving. It's a little different in the pro am setup. But with it being a pro am, slower greens, easier yeah. pin placements. That's why the scores are in the mid 20s most of the time. As Jesse mentioned, it's three courses they'll play. They'll each get around Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with the final event being at the final Sunday round being at TPC, the Pete Dye course. TPC yep. Stadium course. The Pete Dye course, that's the one everybody looks to focus on because that's the one we have a shot tracker on. So we'll get two rounds of that if your guy makes the weekend.
It's a cut after 3 days, right?
It's after 3 days. So everybody's play 3 days. They'll play the Stadium course, La Quinta course, and the Nicholas course. They're all par 72s. They're all under 7,200 yards. La Quinta's barely over 7,000 yards. It's the easiest of the three courses. They all have four par threes. They all have 10 par fours. They all have four par fives. All the par fives are very, very gettable. The par fours, a lot of them range between 350 and 450. The par threes are very, very important because the Stadium course especially, the par threes are some of the hardest holes on the entire golf course. So that comes into play as well. The biggest defense out here is you will get some wind and some weather once in a while, but for the most part, it's the water. There's water between the three courses combined. There's water on a little over a third of the holes on the Stadium course. They built it to mimic TPC Sawgrass. It's Pete Dye course also, obviously. So like, yeah, there's an island green par three, and then there's a lot of holes with water on both sides that come into play. So a lot of it's just stay out of trouble because the rough won't be bad because it's a pro-am. They don't want that to be an issue. You're still obviously always better out of the fairway because you can spin the ball and control the ball. And with very gettable pin placements, that's a big-time benefit. So don't get me wrong there. But you can still bomb and gouge and have some fun because it has been wetter than usual. So I don't know if it'll be as runny as it's been in the years past because it's a desert area. So usually in California, we don't get rain. So this ball will run. And they probably have great drainage systems. I'm not going to doubt that because I saw that at Torrey firsthand yesterday. And wow, that was impressive. But it's not going to be like, you know, burnt out waste management style stuff either. So I'm still going to stick to my normals. Like I want to give me fairways, give me a good approach game in. I will look at like, you know, opportunity to look at DK scoring because that'll be big when you only have, when you have a 3-day cut, you're going to need those DK scores in a big, big way. But all in all, it's just stay out of trouble. You can look at Pete Dye Specialists. Siwoo's one of them. Like those guys do very well at these courses. But all in all, the one thing I did forget to mention, there are a ton of bunkers on this course. So that can be like the one defense. They shouldn't have an issue because the greens are pretty much average to above average in size. But if they get, you know, a little squirrely, the bunkers are some of the tougher bunkers on tour. So that's something to keep in mind. But I don't see it being an issue for some of the best of the best. This is a birdie fest. And as one John Rahm would say, and you probably heard it everywhere you listen to content, this is a effing putting contest. And he said that in the middle of his round one the last year, he was pissed because it's basically who can get hot with a flat stick to the nth degree is going to run away with this thing. So keep that in mind. What stats are you looking at on this one, Jesse?
So a lot of similar stuff to what you just said. There's, you know, the problem with the course history here is, you know, you're really only getting two rounds of shot gain data. And so it's kind of sketch. I mean, it's basically like your resort course. Let's, you know, see how many putts we can make, kind of thing. But I agree with like the opportunities or proximity, greens and regulation, that type of thing. One other thing I will mention too, before we get into it, is keep an eye on the weather. Right now, the like forecast is not bad for most of the days. That Thursday, when I was looking earlier, said PM showers, obviously subject to change over the next few days. But these guys also, like, they start on three courses, so it's not like it's an AM PM wave. I believe everybody kind of goes off within about 4 hours of each other, if I remember correctly. Yeah, could be wrong about that, but you know, so a lot subject to change until you see that, you know, that forecast for sure. You know, Wednesday evening.
And the last goofy caveat, because it is a pro-am and you get 3 days in here, is unlike most events from what I was reading earlier, and I'm surprised, I thought it changed with the rest of the world, but it did not. After the 3-day cut, the top 70 make it to the weekend, to Sunday, I should say, not to top 65. So an extra 5+ guys will make it to the weekend potentially. And in a field of around 150 golfers, that's telling you close to half the field makes it to Sunday. So keep that in mind. That's why I like to focus a lot on DraftKings scoring this week, because you need those birdie machines in bunches. And even par fives, they should all score on par fives. But if you want to look at eagles on par fives, you need to take advantage of this golf course. And lastly, if you're playing Showdown, this should be easy to figure out. Play La Quinta, and then Jack, than Stadium in that order. That's the way I would approach it. Now, if you want to be contrarian, you play Stadium, because you can score on Stadium. You can, just not as easy, but they'll be long. Keep that in mind. All right, let's get into it. DraftKings scoring for the American Express Championship. 10K and above, again, loaded field. John Rahm at 10.8 is still too cheap. Scheffler at 10.5, Finau 10.2, Cantlay 10.1, Xander 10K apparently had the MRI. Apparently he's fine. I will not be playing Xander until I know he's fine.
Yeah, you can. I mean, pretty much eliminate him off. Not to mention his course history here is not, I mean, it's miscut, and his two appearances. That was obviously 5-6 years ago now. It's hard to believe that 2017 was six years ago. But, yeah, I would wait and see. I mean, maybe if he says his back is good, but, you know, are we going to get any information on that before at any point? Probably not, because that's just how the PGA Tour is. But yeah, the four guys above him, Rahm, Scheffler, Finau, Cantlay, all playable. I will say Cantlay, ninth, second, ninth, and his three starts here, and has been playing solidly. I'll be interested to see kind of some ownership projections, but you can kind of play the ownership game up here. Obviously, John Rahm, I mean, it's hard not to play him. But will he get mad about it? I don't know. You know, so the other two, Finau and Scheffler, I think are totally fine too. But like Cantlay is kind of where I'm focused at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Cantlay fan, but I'm with you on this one. And he plays well in pro-ams. He's done it in Pebble too. And that's, it sounds cheesy, but like Jesse and I understand it, and people that play golf, like we said earlier, the 6+ hour rounds, like it's not for the normal person to like, that's why right. Jason Day loves these tournaments and certain guys, because they don't mind like talking to some dude from Invesco, and like they're fine with that. So yeah, it makes it much more interesting there with Cantlay. He's sixth in the model for what that's worth, but to me, Rahm's too cheap. If you want to play Rahm, just eat the chalk. Like he until it's like otherwise, he should be in the 11s. Even 12K would not offend me with John Rahm. He's just that good. Like make people make a decision on him right. At 10-8. It's not really a decision. If you want to play him, it's easy to play him. So you can go there. But Cantlay's the guy for me. Out of the other two, though, with Finau and Scheffler, if I have to decide without looking at ownership, because don't really have it yet on a Monday, I'm kind of looking at Scotty. That's where I'm looking at. Because if you look at past events, 25th, missed cut third here. You got Finau 40th, 4th, 14th, all fine and dandy. But with Scotty, I like the way he's kind of coming into this. You know, he finished at the third at the Worldwide, 9th at Houston, took the time off, but then 7th again at Century. We're seeing him trend back into what he did, given Finau's been amazing. So it's like kind of grasping at straws, but I think that's what keeps maybe Scheffler the lowest rostered out of those four we've talked about, because we're just kind of Xing Xander out. So that kind of makes him interesting to me if I have to, like, throw those scenarios out there.
Yep, I agree with that.
All right, 9K range here. You got Sungjae at 98, Willie Z at 96, Tom Kim at 95, Sam Burns at 94, Brian Harman at 93, Siwoo Kim at 92, Cam Young at 91, and Aaron Wise at 9,000. Honestly, with the field of 3 days, Jesse, I don't mind fading the top 10K guys and loading here if you have to.
Yeah, I mean, I think this range and the next one, I've got a lot of guys checked off. Sungjae at 9,800 has not finished worse than 12th here ever. Obviously, that price is getting to where you really need to get inside the top 10 in order to pay off. But Tom Kim coming off the missed cut. He did miss the cut here last year. So, I mean, I don't know about going – I don't know if, like – I think you'll get a lot less ownership on him this week. The buzz is – it will die down a bit. So, I think he's fine. Sam Burns – missed the cut here 2021, 6th the year before that, and 18th the year before that. I'm just gonna play Sam Burns in about everything, especially at this price. Like with these guys that he's around down here, I like that price a lot on Sam Burns at 9,400. And then last but not least, Brian Harman played here a shit ton, finished 3rd here last year, 8th the year before that, has another 3rd place finish back in 2017, and played the Sony Open, made the cut there, finished 31st, about mid pack or a little bit better at the Tournament of Champions. So he's playing solid golf as well.
Yeah, I love Harman at 9,300 bucks. Pete Dye specialist. You mentioned his event history here has been great. You mentioned his recent form. If you go farther back, 2nd at the RSM, 2nd at the Worldwide Technology, playing just really, really good golf. So I like Harman quite a bit. It's going to be tough for me to get back on Siwoo. He plays great at Pete Dye. He plays great here, but coming off a dub always concerns me a bit. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I like Willie Z. He looked healthy again in his last go around, which makes me feel a little bit better about things. He finished 11th at the Century. You know, it's, you know, everybody makes the cut type thing, but it was good to see him back out there. Finished 6th here last year. So I think Willie Z at 96 is interesting. And then I'm hoping Sungjae comes in a little overlooked. That's what I'm hoping for. He usually doesn't. That's the downside. You know, he missed the cut last week, 13th of the Century. But if we want to talk history, 11th, 12th, 10th, 12th in his 4 years. He's very, very consistent here. We know Sungjae is a birdie machine when things get going. Now, are things going right now? That's a big question. But he's 4th in par fives. Like, he's very, very good. So I think coming off the missed cut, Sungjae is a guy I'm really looking to target here based on ownership to maybe put with, like, a Brian Harman or something. The one guy I want to ask you about, what are your thoughts on Cam Young?
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. Finished 40th here last year, 13th at the Tournament of Champions. I put him in the kind of the same bucket as Sam Burns. Obviously, you know, trying to narrow it down a little bit as far as like the guys that we talk about on here also, because I mean, obviously, all these guys are legitimate golfers, but the price is low on him. So I just anticipate most people seeing his name and being like, hey, yeah, I'm gonna play him, because he's got the name recognition now, but also too, that's a pretty good price on him this week.
Okay, cool. 8K range, we got Taylor Montgomery at 89, coming off another really good weekend. Cam Davis, Putnam, Thigala, Hoagie, KH Lee, Hadwin, Wyndham Clark, Pendrith, and Post. And again, like you said, 8K is loaded too. So what do you like here?
I mean, I pretty much like everybody from 89 to 83. Taylor Montgomery, I expect him to be popular, but I think that's fine. He's got two straight top 15s coming in here, and he has finished inside the top 15 in every tournament since the Fortinet all the way back in September, minus the Houston Open where he finished 57th, but playing really good golf. Cam Davis had a solid week last week, finished third here back in 2021, which was his last start. Hasn't missed the cut in three tries. Finished 31st last week at the Sony. Andrew Putnam, 8,700, has never missed a cut here, 14th, 21st, 10th, 34th, 17th. So solid finishes for him, and hasn't missed a cut on tour since all the way back in July at the Barracuda, playing really solid golf, coming off a top four last week. Thigala, I'm just going to play him every week. Doesn't matter. 33rd here last year. He did play the Tournament of Champions, not great, but his last start before that was second at the RSM. Hoagie was the runner up here last year. This is kind of what started a bit of a hot streak for him, if I remember correctly, because he played well also at the Waste Management, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He plays well at Pebble. He loves pro-ams. Yeah. He plays really well in these formats.
Well, so he finished second here, missed cut, and then won the Pebble Beach. Yeah. Yep. So he must like people.
Yep. He's a likable guy, it seems like.
I guess. Chatty guy. He's going to be high on, though. KH Lee, 8,300. He just – I talked about him at the Tournament Champions. Does well in these, like, kind of birdie fest events. Finished 27th last week. Finished 7th at the Tournament Champions. 8,300 bucks. I like it.
Yeah, we're on a lot of the same pages here. Like, Montgomery's going to be chalky as chalky can be, I think, from people – catching on to how good he is. He's great, though. If you want to go there, I don't mind. He's going to get tons of birdies. That's what he does. But I think Cam Davis is a great pivot off of him. I had a good week last week. He likes these smaller courses like we talked about. And it's also a course that if he does want to pull out the driver, it's not as penal without the rough situation. Just avoid the water. He's second in par five scoring in this field. He's great. And he's ninth in birdie or better, 10th in opportunities gained. So he's going to have a lot of chances to put birdies in the hole. So we like that a lot with Cam Davis. Love Putnam, because if we're talking a putting contest, Jesse, Putnam's your guy. So I have the ride in him last week. He's a machine. So I like Putnam quite a bit at 87. Don't mind your Thigala thing, because he's a totally, like, he's going to go 20 under, or he's going to go three over. That's what he's going to do. So I'm with you there. I like Hoagie still. I'm curious about the ownership. Everyone thought he'd be chalky last week. He wasn't. I think he's just super talented. His approach game is amazing. He's eighth in DK scoring. He's third in par fours, 4 to 450, which is one of the main ranges we're looking at here. So I like Hoagie quite a bit. You mentioned KH Lee. That's the last guy I'll mention here, but he loves TPC courses. He loves birdie fest, as you mentioned. And to build on to what you said, he's 10th in the par fours, 350 to 400. He's ninth in par three scoring in this field. So it just fits this setup very, very well. I know it's a touchy setup with three courses, but for what you're looking to attack, similar courses, KH Lee plays this very, very well. So, yeah, tons and like to like this 8K range. We even mentioned them all, and you'll hear arguments for all these guys. So, I guess one more I do want to mention is JT Poston at $8,000. He put together another really good week last week, finished 21st, kind of fell apart on the weekend. That's three straight 21st place finishes for JT Poston. And he's also T25, missed cut, T37, T7, missed cut. So when he contends, when he makes it to Sunday, usually finishes very well when it comes to DK scoring. So I just want to mention Poston because he always comes in low owned. So he could be a way to be a little different if he needed to be. 79 to 75, Jesse, you got some big names with Rose and Day and Fowler up top. And then it kind of goes down to like the Todds of the world. So what do you like in this range?
Yeah, it's kind of an odd range in my opinion. Denny McCarthy at 7,800, sixth here last year, missed cut the year before that, 48th, missed cut. So kind of sketch, but did have that, you know, sixth place last year. Coming off a made cut at the Sony, finished 31st, hasn't missed a cut on tour since August. Harris English, man, I swear I saw him. I was expecting when I clicked on his name to see that he finished like really well last week, but it's not the case. Finished 73rd, made the cut. Just didn't on the weekend. He's shooting, was it par 70 last week, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So he was in tied for the lead after the first round, 65, and then 70, 72, 72 on the weekend. Not great. I mean, you're losing a shit ton of strokes when you're shooting over par. in Honolulu. But he's coming off injury. Obviously, that 65 is very promising, in my opinion. You know, a lot of times what happens with these guys is they'll have one really good round and then kind of fall apart the rest of the tournament when they're just trying to get back into the groove. And so Harris English at that price, 7,600, like that quite a bit. Chris Kirk, 75, finished third, I think, solo last week. Hit it really well, hit 80% of the greens. And his driving accuracy is leaves a lot to be desired, but 7,500, I think he's fine. I mean, he's played here a lot. Not great course history. Two out of three made cuts, but when he has made the cut, he's finished inside the top 20.
Yeah, and the one thing I forgot to mention earlier is guys that win here, usually contend here, have played at least one round in Hawaii before they come here. So that's something to keep in mind because we're about to get in some people that have not. And right. I'm not saying that does not rule them out because these guys play well here, but it just goes back to, like, you know, you're playing golf, your current form, you're being competitive. There's a lot to be said about that. But
right.
With that being said, I'll start picking guys that didn't do it. Like Jason Day and Justin Rose just stand out to me at $700. Like, why are they $700? Well, we know
just because it's the name, man.
Yeah, it's like
I'm with you.
It's just wow. Because you look at him, like Day, you know, he missed the cut at the RSM, then 16th, 21st. Justin Rose, 29th at the RSM, 9th at the Houston Open. So they both finished the year playing decent golf. This is a place they know very well. If they come in low-owned looking on Wednesday, I'm going to have some Justin Rose and Jason Day. It's almost say. Like, I'm not in love with it by any means, but those are, like, leverage plays to me that I'd rather go that direction than, like, a Ricky Fowler or something. But I digress. Denny McCarthy stands out for reasons mentioned, but he's interesting. P. Raj, I'm in. $7,700.
It's a Patrick Rogers week?
Because there's a couple things. He likes playing in California, and he likes playing in these pros. He plays Pebble well all the time as well. When you look at P. Raj down here, it's T40, missed cut, T64 here. He likes playing Pebble very well. But his recent form coming in in the fall swing, 10th, 16th, 27th, 3rd.
It's really good for him.
Playing really consistent, good golf. And you know what a lot of those were? Birdie fest.
Yeah.
Here we are. And you can tell how well he was playing because I used the last 24 rounds. We've talked last week, and we will continue to until we get a better sample. I thought he can be wonky. But in this field, 6th and birdie or better, last 24th, 8 in par 4 scoring, or par 5 scoring, 1st in DK points, 6th and around the green, 4th in par 3 scoring. All things we want to see, given, like I said, sample size is weird here, playing really, really good golf. So I like him. Joel Dahlman's another guy. You talk about a birdie fest, a guy that's one of the best fairway finders on tour. If you're going to have easy pin locations out of the fairway, I like Dahlman a lot at $7,600. Usually gets overlooked. You mentioned Harry English. I like him as well. And the last guy I'll talk about is Alex Smalley. He's 21st in my model, but finished 25th here last year and the first time he's played here. And then his current form, missed cut last week, but then 5th at the RSM, 4th at the Houston Open. I think he just missed on the number, or he was like one stroke off last week too. So Smalley at 75 is a guy that when he gets going, can get a lot of birdies going too. So I like him at 75. What do you like from 7 to 7,400?
Lee Hodges at 7,400, finished 3rd here last year, does have 2 consecutive missed cuts that were back in the fall swing, so hasn't played since. Will Gordon is playing a lot. Played really well in the fall swing, made the cut last week, 27th. And then has decent course history, finished – he made the cut in his one start here back in 2021. Now he finished 64th. But Lipsky, 14th here last year, coming off a fourth-place finish. Seems like he might be getting hot. S.H. Kim, talked about him a little bit last week. 12th place last week at the Sony Open. He's never played here. Ben Griffin, he's just playing solid golf. Yeah, I mean, 12th last week and had a really good fall swing, a bunch of, you know, made cuts and top 25. So I think he is fine as well. Ben Taylor is another guy. For some reason, the model likes him. Now, he's missed 2 consecutive cuts at this event, but is coming off a top 4 last week and does have a 3rd-place finish at the Houston Open back in November. So he's playing really well, too, at 7,000.
Yeah, it gets fun down here. I'm with you on Will Gordon for the reasons you mentioned. Lipsky as well. Two guys, like, I love to play when they're especially in the 6K range. Now that people are kind of knowing who they are, it'll be a little different, but I like both of them. Steven Yeager is always a GPP play for me because when he gets on, he's a birdie maker. He's great on par 5 scoring, but he can also get a little wonky on his approach game. So that'll be interesting to see, but he's an interesting on him. Luke List as well. Usually plays Pete Dye's decently. And when you look at the lists, 22nd and 21st here the last 2 years, I know I mentioned him at the Century, and he showed up with a T11, didn't play last week. So I think List could be a guy that can come in a little under the radar here. And it's a one thing, it's a putting tournament. So be careful with Luke List, but if he's putting it close.
Course history's not terrible, though.
Yeah, so I like him a bit there, especially at that price point. Ben Griffin, I've been playing him all the time. I talked about him last week. He's just lights out and needs to be priced up a little more. And then if you just want some flyers down here, I got Ben Taylor, Nick Taylor as well, another guy on the Pro-Am circuit that's good. Benny On, I wanted to mention him. He's $7,100. He finished eighth here in 2021. Last year, had to go to the Corn Ferry to get his things right, got his tour card. And then when you look at what he's been up to, Benny On, he finished 12th last weekend at the Sony, missed the cut at the RSM, 53rd at the Houston Open, missed cut at Worldwide, 17th at the Bermuda. Sounds like Benny On to me, folks. So that's, but this is a guy that can win on the PGA Tour at $7,100. I'm interested. And then Grayson Sigg as well at 71 is playing really, really good golf. So I like him at 71 also. 6K range, who you liking?
Start with Carl Yon at 6,900. Three straight made cuts for him. Finished 20th last week at the Sony. EVR at 67.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, 56th here in his one start. Coming off a May cut at Alfred Dunhill, you just never know with him. It's just up and down, but for a GPP, he's fine. Harry Hall is my last pick at 66, 47th here in 2021, coming off a 27th place finish last week.
One guy I did want to mention that I forgot, because I forgot to highlight him, but I was looking at him earlier. He's at 76, is Thomas Dietrich. I played him all fall swing. He's coming back from that Hero Challenge over there in Europe. He's very, very intriguing to me as well. 6K range. Chun On Yu is playing actually some really interesting golf right now at $6,900, 21st last week, 54th the week before. I like him. Sam Ryder, if you want to look at past event history, would be an interesting guy. He's made five straight cuts here, nothing better than a 29th, most of them in the 40 range. But he will get you to Sunday, which isn't as valuable because it's only one day as it used to be. But someone to think about. I like Dougie Gim at 68. He had a good week coming back. Bramlett playing really good golf. 54th last week, 64th, 9th, 63rd. So he'd be a guy to look at. Other than that, though, it's if you want some long shots, and which I don't mind at an event like this, Tyson Alexander's 32nd, 62nd, 2nd at the Houston Open of late. So he'd be a guy to circle at 6,400. And if you want an uber punt, Eric Cole, 61st, 39th, 35th, 27th. He's made four straight cuts, so he's getting the job done. But I'm not in love with a lot of it. But if this is the kind of event that 5 of 6 into Sunday, if it's a good 5 of 6, can be actually pretty darn good. So yeah, if you want to punt and get some more high-priced guys, I don't hate it at all.
Ryan Bram would be another guy at 6,100, basically, yeah. Stoneman. He made the cut last week. And has made the cut in both of his appearances here, which was in 2020, 2017. Not great finishes, but either way, he's $6,100.
Like, just for the purpose of like just looking for guys in the 6K range that DK score well, last 24 rounds, the best guy in the 6K range is that Chun On Yu. He's 6,900. Other than that, you go down to like 24th is Sam Ryder. Justin Lauer is 25th. But a lot of the 6K guys don't even rate out that well when it comes to DK scoring. So keep that in mind as we can. It is a strategy if you want it, but I don't know. You still hope they get you there somewhere, but right, you never know. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K range, who's your guy?
Cantlay is who I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I won't say wrong because that's too easy. So I'll say Scheffler to be different. 9K range.
Sam Burns.
I'm going to go with Sungjae Im. I'm going to plant a flag there and pray. 8K range.
I'm going to say KH Lee.
This is a really good range. I'm going to go with Tom Hoagie, but I feel bad cheating on my boy Davis. 75 to 79.
Harris English.
I'll go with Joel Dahman. That's the dude I want right there. 7K to 74.
Will Gordon.
Give me Ben Griffin, and then 6K range.
Carl Yon. I will say, too, that Sam Ryder has never missed a cut here. That's good intel by you there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so if you don't want to go that one, Chun On Yu, I'll go there because, like I said, he scores on the DK world at worst, and that is big coming down below here. I don't condone cash this week. say that much right now because it's basically a no-cut event is what it feels like.
We can, you can start it next week, even though it's fucking two courses next week.
Yeah, yeah, Farmers, I'm definitely – I'll play cash at the Farmers.
It's doable. It's doable at the Farmers.
Yeah. Don't play it at Pebble, and we'll go back to Waste Management and do it there and pretty much be able to do it the rest of the season.
Right.
But if you're starting a GPP, which is interesting this week, how do you start things out?
I'm going to say, you know, Cantlay, KH Lee, and – you know, you can throw somebody in there like your boy Patrick Rogers, man. I mean, if it's Patrick Rogers week, $7,700 bucks.
Birdie machine. Let me go with Sungjae, Brian Harman, and Tom Hoagie. Fill in the blanks with your cheaper pieces.
I like it.
All right, let's get into the fun part here. DraftKings Sportsbook, who do not sponsor us, just a great site to get your
odds for
it. Yeah, they think good odds right here. It's all in one spot. It's super easy. Like, it's it's accessible really and nice. And I even saw, okay, this is funny. Actually, I have to say this. I saw an ad on some website I was on today, some sports site, and it showed an ad for DraftKings Sportsbook. It said, sign up in California, go and play in Arizona. It was encouraging, like, how to work the system. I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, that's funny.
I was like, they knew I live in California. Like, yeah, you can't play, but you can still sign up here. Then go play in Arizona.
I can't believe California doesn't have legalized sports, but I mean, you guys can smoke weed on the side of the road, but.
They tried to, well, I won't even get into it on the show, the advertisements to stop sports betting on, because it was voted on this last year.
It's crazy.
It was amazing the stuff people came up with that are so full of shit. All right, but here we go. You know, John Rahm is 6.5 to 1, and I can't argue with that at all.
No.
But, you know, you got Tommy Kim's down to 25. Who do you like in this one?
Burns at 35, I think, is decent there. Cage Lee at 55. I mean, you know, long shots have won this in the past. Will Gordon, 100 to 1.
That's not bad.
I don't think English is ready to win in 100 to 1, so I don't know about him. But like Kirk at 110, it's not terrible after he played pretty well last week. Ben Taylor's at 130. I don't know. It's hard to not see Rahm winning this as good as he's playing. I mean, but then again, like, is he just going to win everything? No.
No, he'll have slip ups. He'll have slip ups. You know. Especially if there's ever an event to slip up his personality, it'd be this one.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
With the, how long it takes to play, he can get so pissy so quick.
I guess I'm surprised he plays. What?
I think it's part of the new agreement. I think it's part of the new agreements they're making, man. Like they're trying to load up these smaller events.
Amex must be paying him. I mean, he's been here like almost every year.
Yeah, I think there's you know, check the bank accounts. There's always something. Always something. I like Cam Davis at 50. I'll say that much. 50 to 1 for Cammy is intriguing to me. But yeah, you're looking for the longer shots. The Will Gordon's not bad. I think Joel Dahman at 100 is not bad either. The way he finished the year playing much, much better. I don't think Dietrich is a closer. He's the European phenom. He plays so well and his Sundays just don't play well for him. But he'd be a fun like top 20 guy for me, Tomas Dietrich. A few others though, if I need to go longer shots. It is hard to see with it being this loaded. I don't know if Grayson Sigg's ready to win just yet, but he's definitely a top 20 material type guy for me. I don't see any winners down here, unfortunately. That's a shame.
It's not with the
top of the field.
Those guys come out of there. So,
Sungjae at 20 actually has some value to it. Harman at 35, the way he's playing golf, it sounded crazy a few weeks ago. Not as crazy anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see. Should be, you know, it'll be a fun week. It's just a frustrating week because we only got shot tracker on one course. You can't really keep track of things, and it's hard to tilt properly. So, any final thoughts, though, Jesse, as we wrap up a 3-golf course tournament?
Just keep an eye on that weather.
Yeah, Thursday night can make it fun. We'll be in the Discord if you have any questions over there. Junkies is 2 weeks in. Lots of fun going on over there. A lot of people got in this year, which is great to see. But if you have any questions, hit up Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BDentric, and this was your always pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2023 American Express. Catch you guys later.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.